Leading with Excellence podcast featuring the superintendent of Orleans Community Schools in Orleans, Indiana, Jimmy Ellis. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff Butts, executive director of the Indiana Association of Public School Superintendents. This Leading with Excellence podcast allows our listeners to get to know the incredible individuals who are leading Indiana's traditional public schools with excellence and reminds us that our leaders are also our neighbors, friends, mentors, and lifelong learners. These authentic conversations help bridge the gap between the office of the superintendent and the amazing people in that seat. You know, superintendents are often seen as administrators who make big decisions about budgets, policies, or facilities. And although that is all true, this podcast shifts that perspective by hearing superintendents speak in their own voices about their community, school district, and personal stories. We'll discover the superintendent as a listener, a learner, and servant leader, someone whose leadership centers on vision, relationships, and genuine care for people. Well, let's dive right in and learn more about our guest, Jimmy Ellis. Welcome, Jimmy.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
We're sitting here just south of your school district at Burton's Farmhouse, getting ready for our study council. Tell people about Orleans. Where is Orleans, and what is Orleans known for?
Yeah, Orleans is about 45 minutes straight south of Bloomington. We're in the same county as French Lick, so a lot of people know the hotel and the casino down there.
Yeah.
We're a small community, you know, about 2,500 people in our community, 850 students in our school, and we're your typical small town. Everybody knows everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody takes a lot of pride in the community, a lot of pride in the school corporation.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, our school is kind of the center. The heartbeat of the community.
Sure.
You know,
like many small towns, right?
Like many small towns, you know, and we're blessed in Orleans. We have tremendous community support.
Mm-hmm.
Our parents really support us. We have great kids. And, you know, often, you know, think about it as you watched the Andy Griffith Show, Mayberry. In a lot of ways, we're a lot like that. Just your typical small town with wonderful people.
Coming into town, coming into Orleans from the north, there's a great big poster there with a tremendous amount of pride. Recent state basketball championship. Did that coalesce the community, bring everybody together?
Well, it was wonderful to see. You know, we've got a tremendous varsity basketball coach in Tom Bradley. He's been doing it for a long time. And we've always taken great pride in our basketball programs, our athletic programs. But seeing those guys go to the state championship last year and playing there at Gainbridge and winning that, and just seeing that almost everybody in the community was there that day,
you know,
made the trip up. And it was just so wonderful to see that for the community and just what it did. It just was a great reminder of just how wonderful it is when you have success like that and you see the community supporting you.
Jimmy, I also noticed that when I came through town on the side of a building, it says the front porch of Orange County. Where does that come from?
You know, that was something that our Chamber of Commerce pushed out several years ago. Just that idea that when you come, you know, we're kind of laid back in Orleans and you want to spend a little bit of time there, you know, whether it's at a festival, the farmer's market, you know, just kind of relax, you know, sit on the front porch with your friends, talk a little bit, you know, and just kind of that small town mentality. And just, you know, visit some of the small businesses there in the community and just that idea, just we're just, you know, a little bit slower in Orleans.
Yeah.
Just taking our time and enjoying life and just, you know, like you would on your front porch.
Love that. Love that. What a great analogy. Was education your first choice, or were there some other things that you thought about before you became an educator?
You know, I really only thought about, you know, becoming an educator when I was back in high school. You know, I enjoyed working with kids.
Yeah.
In high school, I was a cadet teacher. I went down to the elementary school and worked with kids and really enjoyed that. And I also wanted to coach basketball. You know, I love basketball and wanted to do that as well. So I majored in elementary education and then, you know, started coaching right away while I was in college and really enjoyed doing that, you know. So looking back, there are a lot of things I was interested in. I'm interested in now. But at the time, I never really considered anything else. It was I wanted to teach and coach.
When did you decide that you wanted to be a superintendent? What was your pathway to that?
You know, I taught for, you know, 19 years before I ever got into administration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I coached and taught and really loved that and never saw myself being an administrator. And then several years ago when, you know, salary schedules went away.
Yeah.
And I was looking at, well, how do I provide for my family? So I took a closer look at administration and becoming a principal. And was lucky to get a principal job at Orleans, place where I taught. And loved it. Loved being a principal. Didn't really have a desire to be a superintendent. Then my superintendent came in one day and said, I'm retiring in 2 years. I think you'd be pretty good. So I thought about it and went back and got my superintendent's license. And you know, right here in the middle of my 6th year, and I've enjoyed doing that. My only regret is that I was only a principal for 4 years, and I loved that job.
Yeah.
It was a great job. But I enjoy being superintendent, but when I first started out, I didn't really see myself in that role, but I'm glad I went into administration. It's been good for me.
So you taught in Orleans. Mm-hmm. You were a principal in Orleans. You're superintendent in Orleans. So you've been around the community for quite a while.
Yeah, and also graduated from Orleans.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I never left, you know. And, you know, that's been a blessing for me.
Yeah. Still have family in Orleans?
Still have family in Orleans, you know. Yeah, my mom, my stepdad still live in Orleans. Uh-huh. Sisters, brothers all live in Orleans.
That's a blessing and a curse, I'm sure.
It's a blessing and a curse. You know, there when I first started teaching, there were people who had me in class.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a little bit different dynamic. When I was first got my principal job, there were still a few teachers that taught me in class, you know, but, you know, it's been good. I know the community. I know what they care for. Mm-hmm. I know what the values are. You know, sometimes some people who remember me from high school will bypass the teacher, the principal, just come straight to me.
Yeah.
and that can be a challenge to redirect them back, that old chain of command thing. But yeah. No, I mean, it's great. It's a great place to work. It's a great place to live. And I've just been really fortunate to spend my entire career there.
So the superintendency is a very demanding job, takes a lot of emotional, mental, physical time and energy. What do you do, and especially since you have family, and you are a lifelong resident of Orleans, you know everybody. Everybody knows you. So how does Jimmy Ellis get away just to recharge and just to be Jimmy?
Well, you know, I was talking to some teachers last night and I told them, you know, even as a teacher and a principal, I don't take work home. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll get to the office at 6:30. I'll stay till 4:30, 5 o'clock if I need to get work done. But when I go home, that's time to be with family. That's time to relax, to decompress a little bit. As far as things I like to do, I've got two stepchildren I love. Mm-hmm. I love spending time with them. And have a granddaughter who's just a little over a year old.
Oh, neat.
And another granddaughter who's just over a couple weeks old.
Oh, my congratulations.
Yeah, and we have a third one on the way here. I'm going to be here in April.
Now, so are they in Orleans as well?
They're in Orleans as well.
Oh, wow.
The one that's coming in April lives in West Baden here,
okay.
South of us.
Okay, yeah, close enough.
Close enough, uh-huh. Yes. And so that's probably the best thing I do is spend time with the grandkids. Love doing that.
Absolutely.
And then also a big reader. Love to read. Mm. You know, I get up early in the morning just so I can have about 30 minutes to an hour just to read.
What's your favorite genre to read? Are you a fiction person? Are you somebody who likes to read biographies? What's your favorite?
I'd say it's a split between I really like, you know, mysteries and thrillers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like reading those, and history, biography, some too.
Yep.
Really like presidential biographies, learning about those leaders and what they did and what they had to work on, those kind of things. Yeah.
Interesting. If I were to go into Orleans and ask somebody on the street, tell me about Jimmy Ellis, what would they say? What would they say about the man, Jimmy Ellis?
You know, I don't know. You know,
what would you hope they would say?
I guess it would depend if I, you know, had to cancel school and regret that decision. You know, I'd hope
timing is everything.
Exactly. I'd hope they say that he's somebody who puts students first. Mm-hmm. When he makes a decision, that he's going to do what he thinks is right. It may not always be popular, but he's going to do what he thinks best for the school corporation. And he's not always going to get it right. Mm-hmm. None of us do. But when he does make a mistake, it's because he's trying to do what he thinks is best for the kids and best for the school.
There's a lot of changes happening in the state of Indiana, and we know that new diploma requirements and accountability rules and all those kinds of things. When you think about the future of Orleans schools and you think about those students that are in your classrooms today and the opportunities they have, what are you most excited about?
You know, I'm just excited that we have a really good group of teachers and staff members and administration that's trying to do all we can to meet the challenges. Mm-hmm. You know, we're a small school corporation. We have 850 students approximately. And obviously, we can't offer everything we'd like to offer, but we're trying to be creative. You know, we build partnerships with the other entities.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a wonderful partnership with Mitchell and Shoals Schools called Cosmos.
Mm.
We share a lot of resources. You know, we do a lot of programming. We're looking at starting some new programming. You know, we send kids to go to Mitchell to take classes because we can't offer them. Mitchell sends kids to Orleans. We have some kids who take some classes virtually with Shoals.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exciting for me to think about. You know, even though we're small, how can we create these partnerships that we can still give our kids opportunities? Maybe we can't afford to hire, you know, a full-time teacher, but we might be able to hire a third of a teacher.
Sure.
And if we can do that, if we can find out those opportunities where we can still give kids the best chance, we definitely want to try to do that.
Well, and certainly those partnerships and those opportunities to work with other districts and other entities. Who's your biggest employer in Orleans?
I have to say Jasper Seating is our biggest employer in Orleans. And we have a great partnership with them, for example. We were lucky enough that we have a teacher who was an engineer there for several years.
Mm.
And he really wanted to be a teacher.
Yep.
And we were able to figure out a way to get him in the school corporation. And he does a great job teaching our advanced manufacturing and our engineering classes. And through our you know, he has a lot of access over there because he knows how things work.
Absolutely.
And so we send kids out there to do some things, and then he'll do some things in class. They'll send us, we'll purchase at cost the materials to build desks.
Oh, wow.
And that class build desks for our teachers and those kind of things.
Oh,
so
neat.
It's just a wonderful partnership. So, yeah, they're our biggest employer, and we definitely, you know, rely on them for those partnerships.
Sometimes people talk about the superintendency being a lonely job, and I've heard others say it's only lonely if you allow it to be. Who are your mentors? Who are the people that you have really learned from and that you aspire to be like in your leadership?
I'd say there's two. One is the principal who was the principal for most of my career at the elementary school. His name is Roy Klein. He's retired now, but he was just a great leader. He taught me first and foremost was that it's about the relationships. It's about the people.
Yeah.
If you're not spending time with your people and getting to know them, you're not going to be successful. And that's something I try to pass on to the people I work with.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to be about the relationships first. And then Gary McClinic, who was the superintendent who hired me, who kind of, you know, encouraged me to become a superintendent. He was just a great example of what a superintendent is.
Mm-hmm.
He was somebody who really put the needs of these kids first. And he came to be superintendent in a time where we didn't have much money. We didn't have... we were really struggling with our budget, and he really got us going in the right way financially. So those two really were a model of what a leader should be and what a, you know, superintendent and a principal should be.
You've mentioned a couple times Orleans is a smaller school district, which means you have a very lean central office. How do you balance all of the tasks that are expected of you as the leader of the school district and also transportation, child nutrition, budgets, grants, and all of the things, all the operational pieces that you're responsible for outside of what we sometimes think of as being most important is that's educating children?
Yeah, one of the things I had to learn is, you know, I had a tendency just to want to try to do everything myself.
Yeah.
And I really had to lean on other people. You know, I've got great central office staff. I've got a secretary, a deputy treasurer, and a treasurer, and they help me tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
My treasurer is kind of like a CFO. She has her CPA, and she does a great job. So I really rely on her.
Yeah.
My secretary, you know, she helps me with the transportation. We just give her a couple more hours a week, and she does a lot of the things that, you know, traditionally a transportation director would do, a lot of behind the scenes of paperwork things.
Sure.
And the same thing with my deputy treasurer. She does all of our HR stuff. So we also, you know, our principals have to be, you know, do a little bit more than maybe principals at our schools have to do.
Yeah.
And our food service director as well. So it's just about trying to rely on our people and realize that you can't do it all yourself. And if you try to, you're gonna struggle.
Jimmy, you remind me of a book that I was actually listening to on the way here called Multipliers by Liz Wiseman. And that's exactly what you're doing. You are hiring great people, and you are multiplying the leadership in Orleans.
Yeah, that's what we try to do. You know, it's something that I've learned is that you want to hire good people, but also, too, good principals can make or break a superintendent.
Absolutely.
And so we've really been lucky. I've got really two good principals. They make my job so much easier, and so I'm really blessed to have good people around me.
Leadership matters. This podcast is called the Leading with Excellence Podcast. What does leading with excellence mean to you, especially in the context of public education?
I think it's, you know, putting students first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think every decision you make, you need to try to do what's best for students. I think sometimes if we're not careful, we can do what's best for adults.
Mm.
And not that you want to discount the adults, but you definitely want to do what's best for the students. That's why we're here, to educate kids. And so I think when I think about leading with excellence is when we make decisions, we're not always going to make popular decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can do what you think is best for kids, more times than not, you're going to be successful and do have good results.
I love that. Jimmy, thanks for being my guest.
Hey, thank you very much. Enjoyed it.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest has been the superintendent of Orleans Community Schools in Orleans, Indiana, Jimmy Ellis. Jimmy's story reinforces that excellence is a journey, not a title. We hope today's conversation helped you see the heart behind the role of the superintendent. Today's conversation reminds us that leadership is not only about decisions. It's about people, passion, and purpose. This has been another episode of the Leading with Excellence podcast from the Indiana Association of Public School Superintendents.